Well, hello, folks. Good morning. Many of you know who I am. I'm Jeff Novak. I work with the ARS. Today, we'll be looking at biochar's ability to sequester heavy metals in mine spoils. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, many of whom you'll see that work with the ARS, and then Mark, who works with the EPA. We have a very good collaboration between the ARS and the EPA for going on 6 years now. We just landed another interagency agreement to work with some phosphorus up in the Delmarva area. So I really appreciate Mark and the EPA's funds to be able to continue this work. Mark gave a very, very good explanation about the history of the Tri-State mine yesterday. I do not like to repeat that if you attended it, but just briefly, the Tri-State mine is located near Joplin, Missouri, and extends into two other states. The mine has been in operation since 1850 for lead and zinc. Mark made a very good comment that the lead that was mined from that was used in World War I bullets. If you go through the internet and look a little bit more on the history of the Tri-State mine, you'll see that that lead was also used in the Civil War. The North and the South fought over that area for control of the mines for the raw material for their weaponry. You'll see a picture there where you'll see some of the ore that's being processed. That separates the lead and the zinc from the other material. Mark indicated that for hundreds of years, that material was basically just spread across the soil surface. As you know, there's other leftovers in the mine spoils. Very commonly at that site, there's a lot of zinc and cadmium and also lead in the background soils. Mark showed that past reclamation was simply to take and push the mine spoils over the ground cover here, producing approximately 2 feet of material that was high in lead. Several decades ago, this lead was excavated, removed from the site, exposing B and C horizon material at the surface. That material was bulldozed, leveled, trying to prepare an area for grass regrowth. Well, you see that after two times, they didn't get very good germination. At that time, Mark approached the ARS and said, "Do you think biochar can help this material?" Well, we went in and we sampled some of this material. We found that its CEC pH was not bad, and it did have some nutrients. But what jumped out at us was the zinc. The zinc was through the roof. So that showed us that we had that toxic, this material to deal with. And in some preliminary work, we saw when we grew corn in it, immediately within 2 to 3 weeks, zinc toxicity showed up. Mark introduced yesterday his pre-screening of several types of biochars for their ability to absorb several different metals. He worked with, I think, about 36 different biochars at different temperatures. Mark and Jim Ippolito came up or worked with that SCLP screening procedures where they looked at the ability of the biochar to absorb the metal and then tried to desorb it. I've always asked what were the top five biochars that they worked with, the feedstocks and the temperatures. And I extracted this from one of Mark's emails to say that the beef manure at 500 and 700 appeared to be among the best. There was a few others that were better, but we chose to work with this beef manure biochar simply because if this turned out to be the biochar that worked the best, they can get it easily from the Midwest area where they grow a lot of beef. So we were looking at a locally available feedstock to marry that up with the site instead of, say, going all the way up to Portland and picking up some hardwood biochar or some Douglas fir biochar. So that was our logic, to try to keep our material close to the Tri-State mine. We set up an experiment where we worked with biochar and manure. The biochar was made from the beef cattle manure at 500 degrees C, and then also we used it as a source of organic matter for the marker organisms in the system. What I would ask you to notice is that we knew we had a lot of zinc to work with or to remove, so our application rates are very high. There was a question yesterday about this being through the roof in terms of expense. But I've learned from Mark that the EPA is spending a lot of money with activated carbon, so each area or square meter is expensive. In other words, they're used to spending a lot of money per square meter to try to remove these metals. So if this was to come in as expensive, they're already used to that economic material. The other problem that we were faced with is that this soil has a hell of a lot of rocks in it. Excuse my language. But Don has always asked me, what are we going to do, my support scientist, what are we going to do about these rocks? So by convention, we went in and established 12.7 as a point where we sieve the rocks out. The reason we did this is because we found that about one-third of the rocks were larger than this, but we still had a good two-thirds of the rock pass through. So I tried to find a convention that would resemble kind of what's in the field. Notice we used the 500C biochar, we put that manure in, and we also put fertilizers. Now the next big question is, what grass were you going to grow as your test grass? Well, again, thinking that you would want to grow a grass that if you do find something that works, the grass should be amenable to the ecosystem of the Midwest. We chose two warm season grasses, a buffalo grass and a gramma grass. Also, just for comparison, we took the same grass seeds and we planted them in one of our standard coastal plain soils. This one is a Goldsboro. This soil is doesn't have a lot of zinc in it, but it let us know that the grass first would grow under our greenhouse grass conditions, and what would that grass grow look like. Okay, here's some of the results. First thing we did was we did seed germination counts at 25 days. Here is the gamma grass. Note this, the type of notation that I have. 2.5% biochar versus 5% beef cattle. You see some seeds coming up, but they basically start to exhibit necrosis within 2 to 5 days after emergence. It was really sad to see all these seeds come up and just go. The buffalo grass was very surprising. It thrived under that treatment. So if you notice here, under the gramma, yes, we did get some germination by day 25. Now, what we meant by germination is when the grass would get high enough, 1/2 inch, 2 centimeters, so that we could count it. But also for the buffalo, notice that we had a little bit better growth here under the higher application rates. So by using two grasses, we found, as you probably would expect, the grasses have a different ability to handle high zinc soils. After 30 days of growth, we terminated the experiment, and what we did was we cut the above ground material. Notice for the lower treatments, there wasn't much growth, but here at the higher treatments, 5 and 5, we've got quite a bit of material. We have two pictures here to exhibit the two, and what this told us is that the particular buffalo grass was doing a little bit better here at these higher application rates. Now, the key thing here was, besides determining that you could get grass to grow, what was the concentrations of the zinc, or what were the zinc dynamics to either kill that grass or to the grass to basically handle that type of high concentrations? So what we ended up doing is we did extractions with different extractants. DPTA, I'm not used to working with. We work with Malic 3, but we married up with the extractant that would be suitable for the soils out of the Midwest in that region. We also use calcium chloride, 0.01 molar, and just plain water soluble. What you see here is, now I'm just going to talk about the zinc because the cadmium showed not to be too much of a problem, that by putting in these different treatments, if you notice, we do get a reduction in the DPTA zinc. Also in the calcium chloride, we start to also get reductions. We can take it from 603 down to 126. The water soluble here, you see really no difference, but again, that depends upon the way you do the statistics. When you look at this within the biochar as a block, there's a big statistical difference with 53 versus 120.39. So what this is telling us is a couple things. First thing is we were able to arrest the zinc in solution. The second thing is, what extractant are you going to use to tell you that your system is working? So we got into a lot of discussions about, should we be using this as our index, this or this? Well, if we started to do some data interpretation by taking the calcium chloride extractable zinc measured in each pot on day 29 and then plotting that against the number of seeds that germinated on the 12th and the 25th. Notice you might see some pattern, but there is a little bit of a spread here. Now again, this is the zinc extractable calcium through calcium chloride and the number of seed germinations averaged over the entire pots. But notice what you start to see here now, and I was so happy to see this. Yes, there is a trend. What this is looking like is a curvilinear trend with an R-square of about 0.6, which isn't bad. So what this is telling of the group is that, yes, if you can keep the amount of zinc chloride extractable down, you can increase germination. Also, it told us that perhaps we shouldn't be looking at the DTPA numbers, but its more sensitive indicator would be the calcium chloride. I just noticed I don't have much time here. Okay, but that brings us up to the conclusions. We were able to, with the two extractants, we reduced with using the beef cattle manure, and it's the biochar. I put in red what I was very happy about. When we got grass to grow, after seeing the zinc concentrations in those soils, I did a handstand. I was very happy that we can do something as an amendment to get the grass to come up. The gamma grass was not as tolerant to the Tri-State Mine chemistry. And now what we're going to be doing is we're going to repeat this experiment, but expanding the treatments with the buffalo grass germination, continue this study a little bit longer than 30 days, and start to do a little bit more work with a few other grasses and some other extractions for that. How much time do I have left?
We have 3 minutes.
Okay. That's my final slide. I kept it short, and I will entertain any questions. Thank you for your attention.
What is the goal of this experiment in this site? Is it to hold all the heavy metals in the soil, or you like to extract by, for example, pilot extraction?
The goal of this experiment is to get grass cover on the mine spoils. Very simple. What happens is if you don't phytostabilize it, that the sediment will be picked up with the wind erosion. There's some houses nearby. Populations nearby, so you're trying to basically keep the site phytostabilized.
So looking at more vegetation restoration
mm-hmm.
purpose.
Yes.
Now, but you're still looking at same time the fixation of the metal in the soil.
Right. So some areas of this, there's no grass growing. Mm-hmm. So that's where we looked at the concept of can we improve the soil plant relations by sequestering the zinc and then finding a grass that can grow in some high zinc concentrations.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Do you look for the pH of the soil of the amylene and biochar, like after 30 days?
Yes, we have. What we managed is that the initial pHs were about 4 or 5. By adding even up to 5%, this char, the pH has stayed about 5.5. So they didn't. In other words, we did a lot of preliminary work, so we knew the threshold of adding those high amounts of manure and biochar. What would that do to the in background pH? It stayed at below 6.5. Well, not only from the soil chemistry, but we were looking at it as an agronomic point. So, yeah, we were trying to keep it. That's something, yeah. The pH is definitely something to look at. Yes, sir.
Confounded the effect by your increasing the zinc in the soil.
If I understand your point, yes, we have the background chemical characterization of both of the amendments. And then, what was the second part of your statement?
So, do you have attributed your results to the beef cattle manure, to the biochar, or to the confounding effect of the few substances?
The preliminary statistics is showing that there is, depending upon the treatment, there is an interaction with the two together. So, both are affecting the zinc concentrations.